Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Get it. The Bert Show.
Is it a bad idea for her to go on a date with her ex-husband that she split from 6 years ago?
I'm going to go with yes, but let's hear more.
That's what I'm thinking. My knee-jerk reaction is just a hard no. You shouldn't go on this date. But again, who knows what details we might be missing out on, Abby?
Let's find out.
Mo's got the email.
Hey, Bert Show gang. Long-time listener here. Love you all. Never thought I'd actually be in a situation that I need advice on and not ready to discuss with my IRL friends and real-life friends. Mm-hmm. Figure that out in real time.
I saw the gears turning. IRL.
So you are the next best thing.
We'll take it.
I have been divorced for 6 years. I have 3 children, 2 of which are from my second marriage that lasted 10 years. It was a pretty brutal split, and our lives carried on separately. But we have always been great co-parents. He's also still a great stepfather to my oldest child. Recently, there has been some unexpected chemistry between us, and he's now asked me out on a date. I have accepted with ground rules of needing to hash out what happened between us in the past and what we have done to grow from it. So that if that happens, we can make a fresh start as the people we are now. Is that a good idea? The date is Friday, and I'm just needing someone to tell me I'm not being naive and that people really can change and grow, and this could potentially work out. Hope to hear from you.
All right, now that we've gotten a few more facts, Abby, has she swayed you into going out on a date with her ex-husband of 6 years?
I feel like I'm still lost on whether or not I want to give her a yes or no, because you said it was a pretty brutal split, but like, what does that mean? Was it brutal because it was so emotional and you guys knew it was the best thing to do to leave each other separately for now? Like, was it brutal because of that? Or was it brutal because he cheated on you with 15 other women and hid it from you for 9 of the 10 years of your relationship? Like, I feel like I still need more details to know if this is a good idea or not, because I do think with every relationship, you get one breakup. I think you get one. After you cash out that one breakup, you either need to stay with them forever or never see that person again. Like, you can have an opportunity to grow and change and realize there needs to be some adjustments in both of you to have a successful relationship. But then once you get into like that back and forth of getting back together, then it just turns into a toxic situation that you should probably just avoid.
No.
It is tough with the amount of information that we have. I always do feel like typically if you are exes with somebody and it didn't work out, it probably did not work out for a reason. And usually I would say you should keep on pushing. But you are at a point where you got married. You do have children involved. And if you are considering going back at all, then maybe that means that the breakup wasn't that bad, right? Because if it was that brutal, maybe this wouldn't even be a thought in the back of your mind. But I do think people can change, people can grow, people can evolve, and we always talk about the timing and how important that is when it comes to dating and successful relationships. So maybe the timing wasn't right then. And if you've had all of this time to think about it and consider the reasons why you left, and you're still considering to give them another shot, maybe.
Recently, there's been some unexpected chemistry.
Who thought you would have chemistry with your ex? Shocking.
I mean, I think this is obviously very layered, and it gets super complicated because you have kids involved. And because you have children involved and multiple children, two of which are his, and you said he's also a really good step parent to your oldest, the last thing you want to do is get those kids' expectations up, right? Because probably they would like to see mom and dad together, depending on what that relationship looked like, you know, before the split. Unless it was so bad, they were like, hallelujah, thank goodness mom and dad are going to split. Because, you know, we have that vision of Lindsay Lohan and the Parent Trap and, you know, the two of them rekindling. And, you know, that is the movie-fied version of it. Whereas here, my concern is it's you have to think more than just of yourself, because you have other, like, little hearts that are involved in this, little minds and little hearts that are involved in this. And like you, Abby, I couldn't get past the it was a pretty brutal split, because I'm here to let you know if it was brutal the first time, it's going to be brutal the second time. Mm.
So I think the other thing she needs to remember is with distance, you also forget the things you didn't like about them, the little things that bugged you on a day-to-day basis. And when you get back with someone, whether it's just a conversation or if you guys are just texting or if you guys just see each other once a week for the kids, and you just have those good, like, happy moments, it's hard to remember why you guys split in the first place. So you know what? I'm gonna have a hard answer now. I think she should go on the date, and I think she needs to go on the date to remember all of the things she did not like about this person so that she can remember why there was a split, or she can decide whether or not she wants to get past those small little icks and cringes and toxic behaviors he might have.
I also think it's tough because it's forcing us to assume that he was the reason for the brutal split. It doesn't necessarily say whose fault it was. Mm-hmm. It just says the split was brutal. So it could have been something that she did, and now she's grown, and that would be a whole different scenario than if it's something that he did, and you're at a point of maybe I didn't find anything better, so let me go back. Like, it's hard without that information too.
So with all that said, I think go on the date, right? If I was your best friend, I'd be like, go on the date, but proceed with everything after that with caution. And maybe the two of y'all are just horny and you just need to do it and get it out of your system and move on.
Sometimes that's all you need to figure out. Yeah, never mind. I'm good.
Yeah. That was a fun 7 minutes.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Well, we have all been there, but our intern Ethan is there right now, budgeting for a little itty bitty 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 amount of money. So Kristen had a great idea. Let's get some advice for this dude.
Yeah, so intern Ethan came on the air and shared one of his personal stories, which is that he was broke. And how do you tell your friends, yo, I can't do that because I'm broke?
How can he be broke after getting royalties off of this?
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain.
You would think he'd be a millionaire off of this song by now.
If you haven't been introduced to intern Ethan in his voice...
Hello.
If you do not do your intern rap to the tune of Chocolate Rain, you are missing out on an opportunity.
Seriously. So intern Ethan, before we bring Mike on here from Georgia Safe Retirement Planners, exactly what is your budget each and every week?
Each and every week? It's hard to say. I really don't know. That's kind of my issue. I kind of just like vibe out. I check my account and it's like, I can work with this. And then I get to the end of the week and I was like, oh, I was wrong. And then it's just like, dang.
So you can check your account online.
Yes.
Do it right now. Tell us what we got in there. What are we working
with? Herbert Weiss? Don't put him on the spot like that.
I mean, we're not going to be overwhelmed, I don't think, by this number.
No, I hate putting him on the spot like
we've
that.
We've all been here.
We can't make a budget off of vibe out.
Right.
Well, Georgia Safe Retirement Planners were in charge of figuring out what the vibes were, which is why we got Mike DeSombre here.
All right, what's the number you got in that account right now?
I have not been paid yet, but I'm looking at $257 about.
$257,000.
No. That'd be so amazing.
So you got $257. And right now, as it stands, what do you have to cover with your $257?
Okay, right now, I know, well, ideally, I would get groceries, a haircut, and that's really the main thing. I lost my charger yesterday, so I've got to get a new laptop charger.
Mm-hmm. Those are expensive.
That's pretty much it right now.
All right, so this again is Mike from Georgia Safe Retirement Planners. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Bert. Thanks for having me.
All right, so if we're not specifically talking about our intern Ethan here, but you're talking about a dude or a woman that has got a budget like his, what's the first piece of advice you can give to him?
So we talked a little bit earlier this week and found out a couple of things about Ethan. And one of the things that he said was sometimes I look at my account and I'm like, man, if I didn't do that, I actually could have some money. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing. I feel like a lot of people do that, right? I also told Ethan he's not alone by any means sure. in the situation he's in.
Like, what are some of the things in looking back? Like, if I didn't do that, I'd have more money. What are we talking
okay,
about?
Okay, well, one of the things that I pointed out, I really needed some headphones because I lost a pair of my headphones because they fell out of my jacket.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we figured it out. If you would just stop losing stuff, you'd have freaking money.
But I was like, okay, I'm going to get some headphones. But I didn't want to wait. I'll just go to the Barnes and Nobles that's associated with my school and grab a pair of headphones there.
Yeah.
I get home, I open them, I use them. They're terrible. I do need headphones, so I just got another pair.
Oh, fam. All right. So that's what we're dealing with here,
yeah,
Mike.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So along those lines, he also mentioned a couple other, you know, habits that we might need to kick a little bit. One of them, like many of us, Ethan can get Instagrammed. So he's got his impulse buys. He'll see something on Instagram and just pull the trigger.
Right, man. Yeah. Me too, time and time again.
Oh, yeah.
And are you with me like 70% of the stuff you get sucks from Instagram?
I'll see something on Instagram and I'll be like, whoa, what is that? And I'll do a ton of research, but I'll get super fixated for like 5 hours.
Okay.
And then, but then I'll get more into it.
So you're
and then I'll buy it.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're only wasting two things, time and money.
Yes.
Okay. Nothing important.
Okay. Yeah. You're good, man.
So one of our big pieces of advice there, sleep on it, man. Mm. We always say take 2 to 3 sleeps because that guy strolling down the Santa Monica Pier in his roller skates might look awesome to you up front. But after you take a couple sleeps, you might wake up and be like, you know what? I actually don't really need those.
That is the truth.
The other thing too, even if you have a bunch of stuff that you want, if you're like, man, I need those new headphones. I really like those roller skates on Instagram. If you've got a bunch, make yourself a list. Give yourself one impulse buy a month. And at the end of the month, take a look at your list and see what you want, what you really want. I guarantee you at the end of that month, that list, about 80% of it, you're not even going to want anymore.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, I'll definitely work on that.
I definitely hear you. I'm just not going to execute it.
That's what he's doing.
All right. So Mike, you and Ethan had a Zoom meeting.
We did.
And he's giving you like all his stuff. And basically he wants to be able to live life, hang out with his friends and do stuff and not be broke.
Yeah.
What kind of plan did you put together for him?
Yeah, so we had a couple other ideas as well. He mentioned a couple other things that might be a little bit too much on the spending side when you don't have a lot of money. One of them, which I thought was really cool, Ethan and his friends go to dinner and they take a rotation. And one of them pays for it every other time. And they kind of rotate on who pays for it. He mentioned this the last time when he was talking about it, and he said one of his bills ended up being almost over $200.
Ooh, oh, no. For a dude that only has $257 in the bank,
right.
Man.
So that's his whole account right there if he goes out to dinner tonight. Right. So one of the things that we were talking about is, you know what? Maybe you sit down with those buddies and we set a cap. We say, hey, look, you know what? We can all still do this. We can all still have a good time. Maybe we make a cap. Let's say $100 instead of $250. Mm-hmm. Maybe you choose places that aren't going to cost $250. It's a conversation you got to have with your buddies. Sit down. We know we like to do this. We like hanging out together, but we don't need to do it at a place that's going to cost us $250.
How would that conversation be received by your friends?
I mean, I feel like it would be received well, but I don't think I would bring it up, to be honest.
Because it is difficult when you have friends that are like in different economic brackets. There's been issues back in the day when girls, we would go out and you would try to split stuff. And my friend was like, I didn't have any of the champagne. I'm not paying for it.
Right, yeah.
So are you guys all pretty much on the same level?
Yes and no, for the most part. There's one guy who can spend however much he wants to, but the rest of us, it's like, okay, we're all kind of in the
same
place.
Like he should be the one treating
you. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking the same thing. It's kind of his responsibility. Like, until people catch up or get closer, he should be taking care of it if he can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the things that we were kind of talking about as well, you've got some big goals ahead, right? Like, Ethan wants to go to law school. I didn't go to law school, but I also know that that's not cheap. So there are a couple things that Ethan kind of needs to have money for coming up. And one of them could be these group dinners. One of them could be all these Instagram purchases you want to make. One thing that you can do that's actually fairly easy and really helps you save for these kind of things, you could set up separate accounts. Like, you've got a savings account, right? He's got one that he doesn't touch. It's awesome. He's got his checking account as well. If you've got something that you really want, if you want a goal, like, create a separate account. create a different savings account. You can do it. Some banks don't make you have any kind of minimum. Some make you put $25 in. Create a separate account. Every time you get a check, put a little bit into that. Do your direct deposit directly into that account. So say you have a savings for Instagram skates. Every check that you get, save a little bit and put it in there. You'll never see it because it's not in your checking account. You won't even know it's there. And then a couple months down the road, you'll look into it and you'll say, oh, wow, I've got enough money for these Instagram skates. Let's do this.
Okay, so skates keep coming up repeatedly. Is that something you really wanted? Or, Mike, is that something you want?
That is something I want to
do. I didn't want to answer again. Oh, oh,
no, because... Okay.
What? Yeah, if you get those, you better be rolling your happy ass up and down the radio station hallways. That's all I got to say. You better be rolling into the studio.
Wait a second. This is a smart financial decision, because don't you have like an ongoing bet where if you can stay single for a year or two, you get $1,000? No woman is going to touch him with a 6-foot pole if he's strolling up and down the streets of Georgia Tech with his skates on.
I bought the skates.
You did buy the skates.
I bought the skates, and they're fun, and they're cool.
How much were the skates, bro?
They're like $200.
Are you kidding me?
But, as a guy that's also like 5'4", or so, gives you a couple inches. Those skates give you, it gets it up to about 5'7", 5'8".
Effie's like, I don't want those inches.
Not in that direction.
And they're like, not even... I'm super fixated on the skates, but I feel like this was like a legitimate purchase because they're not normal skates.
Yeah.
What makes them unnormal?
What they so special?
They don't like, you don't strap in them or anything. You just stand on top of them.
Yeah. Are they like Heelys?
No.
Ethan, how many times have you used those?
I've used them like 3 times.
Okay.
But
and you could use it on women also. Like, I just bought myself a new pair of wheels.
They don't need to know.
They don't need to know that they're skates. I just got some new wheels. Yeah. All right?
Oh, bless.
Mike, let me ask you this here real quick, too, because I have seen a lot of accountants online that are talking to guys that and women that are his age, and they're already trying to plant the seed of retirement in their head now. And the little amount of money that if they just put in now would be enormous by the time that they are ready. So can you speak to that? If he could just buy less skates and spend just a little bit of money in retirement, how much can he put away for that?
Yeah, absolutely. So you might not have a ton of cash right now, but the most valuable thing you have at your age is time. Mm. And to Bert's point, whatever you can put away, the better off you're going to be in the future. So like, for instance, that $200 you spend at dinner, if you put $200 away per month at your age, when you retire at 65 years old, you'd have almost $700,000 sitting there ready for you at retirement.
Bruh.
$200 a month. Even if you did $50 a month, you'd be over $200,000 sitting there at retirement at 65. If you waited till 35 to start doing this and you set aside the same amount of money, if you set aside $200 a month starting at 35, 30 years later, that'd be about $230,000. So think about that. That's almost $500,000 extra dollars just by tucking away that dinner money every month.
That must be hard to sell, though, like, because he's looking at that age and he's like, man, that's so old. I'll worry about that later when he's trying to eat and buy new skates.
Totally. And again, that was just an example. It doesn't have to be $200 a month. It doesn't have to be $50 a month. But whatever you can do, take a percentage. Every dollar you make, like I mentioned, tuck it away into that savings account. Never see it. Don't even think about it. Tuck it into that account and just let it grow.
Be sure to listen to everything he said and don't do anything about it.
We fully expect that. Okay.
And I want to remind everybody that I'm going to be at Georgia Safe Retirement Planners this Wednesday. We're doing a happy hour. So Mike and the rest of his crew there and myself, we want to empower women to get like the financial wisdom they need. I readily admit I am financially illiterate. I definitely rely on my husband for a lot of stuff. And so it would be nice for me to actually know where my money is and where it's going. So we are doing a happy hour Wednesday at Georgia Safe Retirement Planners location. They're in beautiful downtown Roswell. on Canton Street. We'll be there from 5 to 7. So we'll be just sipping wine and learning how to make the money.
To your point, man, it's the, I don't have a lot of regrets in life. This is the one that I do.
Yeah.
Is not being better educated about finances, not taking business classes in the 3 weeks that I was at San Diego State. I have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, clearly not knowing what I'm doing with my finances. And a guy like Mike here from Georgia Safe Retirement Planners can help you out. You don't have to make that mistake.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
We had a beautiful full moon on Friday. It was actually a super beaver moon. Yes, that is a real thing.
That was too.
That was my beaver impression.
Uh-huh. And Abby had a homework assignment, and that homework assignment was this.
Think carefully about who you're doing this for, because you won't be able to distance yourself from that person ever again. To begin, take a sanitary pad and make a hole in it. Through this hole, insert a photo of the person you wish to have in your life. Next, use red ink to write the full name of your beloved on the pad, and wear the pad overnight for the best results. If you are on your period, it is much more effective. The next day, remove the pad and sprinkle it with powdered cinnamon. Fold the pad towards you, then wrap it in a piece of your worn underwear. Then, store it in a dark place where no one can find it, and don't be surprised if the person soon becomes deeply infatuated with you. It's important to note that this ritual should be performed at night, and while it can be done on any day and during any lunar phase, it should not be performed during the last quarter moon. The optimal time for this ritual is at midnight. The best day is Friday, and the most effective moon phase is the full moon. Also, remember to focus on what you want throughout the ritual and keep visualizing that person at all times.
All right, so this sanitary pads spell was courtesy of Inspiring Touch Official on Instagram. And like she said at the end, it was a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It was a super beaver moon, which really has no play, but I just love the fact that it was a beaver moon.
Mm-hmm.
So did you or did you not do this Friday night?
Listen, nobody was more uncomfortable than me on Friday night when I had to trot my little butt down to the apartment printer to get a photo of Glenn Powell.
That is very humbling.
There were moments where I was in the middle of this ritual and I was like, I went to a top five public university for journalism, and here I am wearing a sanitary pad because it's a full moon. Because we're going to do some kind of weird witchual,
uh-huh,
if you will, to bring in A-list superstar leading man actor Glenn Powell into my clutches.
So you did it?
Yeah. Yes. Can you imagine if I came and was like, no.
I mean,
I get paid to do one thing. I get paid to yap and do these stupid buffoonery things.
All right, so you slid a hole in the sanitary pad.
Uh-huh.
You put his little photo in there.
Oh my God.
Is there a particular photo you chose?
Yes, I chose the one of him in Twisters with the white T-shirt on. That's I love.
And the cowboy hat.
And the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of rainy, and it's like sticking to his pecs.
Get up.
Yeah.
So you wore it all night.
Unfortunately, I did.
Wow.
Yes.
And then you wake up and you sprinkle it with cinnamon.
Uh-huh. Right before my flight, and it was the first thing I had to do.
Oh my God.
Grab my state ID in my suitcase and sprinkle a little cinnamon. And then, of course, I had to find a place where no one could find it, although no one's coming into my apartment, clearly, because I'm doing this kind of ritual. I'm not bringing home gentlemen collars.
And also, you don't want your cat Della getting into it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know if cinnamon is toxic to cats, so I just stick it in a place where no one would see it.
All right, don't tell us. That is your special hidden place for your cinnamon... cinnamon
thingy-majig.
Thingy-majig.
Your cinnamon sanitary pad.
Yeah.
And you wrapped it up in used underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And you tucked it away.
Yep.
You did all of this.
I did. I voluntarily did this.
And how did you feel about yourself?
Not well. Not well. I had my resignation typed up right next to it. I was like, I can either put this in my closet somewhere or I can fire this off to our business manager.
So then you went and caught your flight down to Gainesville.
Uh-huh.
So you go to the Florida Gators game, which congrats on your win over LSU. Did you bother to tell any of your Delta Zeta alumni?
Yeah, I was keeping that information myself because you know what? They all think I'm doing so well. I couldn't spill the details that this is my actual job. I had one girl that I probably haven't seen since I graduated. So it's been like 5 or 6 years. And she comes up to me and she's like, "You're doing so well in life. I've loved watching your career blossom. You're doing big things, aren't you?" I'm like, she has no idea that there is a pad covered in McCormick cinnamon sitting in my closet somewhere just rotting. There is a cockroach having a good little snack on that Glenn Powell photo this weekend.
You know, I can't blame you for not sharing with your sorority sisters, you know, what you did leading up to your trip down to Florida. But I commend you for doing it. Hey, you know, our jobs are stupid, man.
Listen, I mean, when Glenn Powell shows up later this week because he can't stop fantasizing about this girl he's never met before, really, who's going to get the last laugh?
You're only crazy if it don't work. If it works,
you're
on to something.
There's going to be a mad rush on sanitary pads and cinnamon at the grocery store. Stock and cinnamon.
You're on The Burt Show.
Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I feel like I'm about to really outrage some mothers here because being a mom is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sign up for that. I've seen what I've needed to see. I was raised by a mother. It doesn't seem easy to me. So I'm a tap out of this one. But if I was going to have children, I would want to do it the Kim Kardashian route, where you can just pay people to be a parent for you. And you can just exist in that world where you get to be the cool parent and somebody else can do all the hard work. But Kim Kardashian actually opened up on a podcast called What in the Winkler, which is exactly what it sounds like. It is hosted by Henry Winkler's wife and daughter. And I guess his daughter is really close friends with Kim Kardashian, so she came on the podcast.
That is odd.
This is so random.
I love it. It's just not odd. That's very random.
I'm glad you said that because I'm like, is that judgmental for me to be like, what a random pairing?
It's just random.
Mm-hmm. So random. And the fact that they have a podcast too. And anyway, so she went on the podcast to talk about what it's like to raise her four kids. And she says, you know, even though I have resources and help, I still basically kind of feel like a single mom.
You know, it's not something that I talk about a lot because I feel like there is always a lot of judgment or people always will jump to the, oh, but you have the resources to have nannies and to have help. And I just think that, you know, no matter what kind of help I have, basically raising four kids by myself here is, you know,
insane.
Yeah.
So I think what she was getting at, if I'm reading between the lines, I mean, homegirl's a billionaire.
Billionaire.
She definitely has the resources to take care of her kids. Like, she's not struggling to find a babysitter or to find childcare so she can go out and do her thing, right? So, yeah, nannies are plentiful in her home. She's got the money to take care of those kids. I feel like this was a direct dig at Kanye and how little involved he is in those kids' life.
Oh, I didn't think about that angle.
That's like, so when I heard that, it felt like to me she was basically saying, I am a hands-on mom for these kids, like full-time. Like, these, it sounded to me like these are her kids full-time. She has the help, right? but he's basically non-existent.
Then I think my thing is then say that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that is legitimate. And I do think no matter how rich you are, if you're really hands-on with your kids all day, every day, there are only a certain number of hours in the day. But it is hard for me to look at her as a billionaire when she can hire chefs and drivers mm-hmm. and all the, like, she's not cleaning her toilets. I guarantee you she's not.
She's not going to the grocery.
No, and she's not even Instacarting it. Like, these are things that take hours and hours of time to sit there and be like, it's hard. Yes, but shut up.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you're allowed to feel it's hard. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, you gotta read the room.
Yeah.
And I feel right now she didn't read the room. And you're right. Like, it's not just about the kids. It's about everything else you have to do in that mental load. And like, I wouldn't dare. I got a man. He's a fantastic stay-at-home dad. And he does so much around the house. And we are also in a financial position where we can afford babysitters and things of that nature. So yeah, you can say it's hard, but the way she said that, to me, I felt like she said that in that way to take a slight, like, to take a dig at Kanye. Because if she says she's raising four kids on her own, that's the only way I could take it, was that Kanye is just not participating in his kids' life right now.
Yeah, and it does suck because it is her reality. But at the same time, I'm like, it's not on your own. Like, just say Kanye West is a bad dad and he's a deadbeat dad. Or, like, or call out whatever you think he is allegedly. But it just rubs me the wrong way when there's like this eat the rich mentality and people are really, really struggling out here. And you're going to sit there as a billionaire with multiple houses, support staff, a huge family who's nearby and be like, it's hard. Shut up, Kim. Shut up.
Stop talking. But I mean, to your point, Kristen, like, it makes a lot of sense that there's only so much you can do emotionally when it comes to taking care of your kids that really only your parents can do. So like, of course, she can hire a chef and she can hire a nanny and she can get somebody to drive the kids around. But at the end of the day, like, if North or Psalm or Saint or Chicago, one of those kids comes to her with like an emotional need, she's kind of the one taking the brunt of that, where I'm sure it's really difficult to feel abandoned by the person that you were sharing these kids with and see photos of him and his half naked wife in some random country bopping around and making weird comments on Twitter.
You know what I would love to see is like, now she's having this revelation, right? Of, you know, saying she's like, basically a single mom raising these kids on her own. She does so much great work for prison reform. Maybe now it's time for her to tap into some kind of charitable aspect for single moms and, you know, use that experience to reach out and help those moms who are out there doing it on their own.
That's a great idea. Well, hopefully Kim Kardashian, if you're listening, Kim, hi Kim, you should start that charity. I think that'd be a great initiative. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
You're on the Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story.
If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help.
It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/Scorecard Plus for details.
Somebody held a mirror up to my face. And I had a hard time swallowing what I was looking at.
Oof. Time to go back to the Botox lady?
Went out with my girls for a girls' weekend. And it was the four of us out and about on the town. Pompano Beach, Florida, baby.
Woo!
We're there. doesn't get very lit and people are typically going home by 11. And listen, I'm here to let you know that a cougar is not defined by age, but more defined by activities. Mm. All right?
Cougar energy.
However, I was informed that I'm a cougar. Yes. Hi. My name is Kristen. And if I was a single woman out and about on the town, I am a cougar. And just to make sure you understand what cougars are, according to Urban Dictionary, the first definition, cougar, when an older woman desires a much younger man and pounces on its prey. I have no desire for a younger man, but I am apparently an older woman. Mm. Now, this next definition is a little more intense. An older woman who frequents clubs and orders to score with a much younger man. The cougar can be anyone from an overly surgically altered wind tunnel victim to an absolute sad and bloated old hornmeister to a real hottie or MILF. Cougars are gaining in popularity, particularly the true hotties, as young men find not only a sexual high, but many times a chick with her ass together.
I'm sorry. That was way harsh. If cougars were that bad, would they have a theme song? I'm a cougar.
She was indeed not ready.
Heck, y'all, I was out to dinner with my girls and we were like dressed up in our finest, trying to look all cute, look a little hot, feeling ourselves.
Was this the night you got called a prostitute?
Yeah. No,
it's all coming together.
Suddenly it makes sense.
That wasn't prostitute night. It was a different outfit. It was the night before. I got called a cougar Friday night. I got called a prostitute Saturday night.
There's a theme here.
You're talented.
Right? Tell me.
She's multifaceted.
So we're sitting at this restaurant having dinner, and I can't remember if it was which girlfriend it was, but said we're cougars. And I'm like, no, we are not. I'm like, we are young and we are vivacious and we are just having fun and living our best lives because the two of them are single, right? And they're like, no, we are cougars. And I'm like, we are not cougars. So this hot server walks by and Amanda grabs his arm, right? He's like a young dude. He's like in his mid to late 20s. And she goes, hey, man, are we cougars? And me, without skipping a beat, he's like, oh, yeah. And they kept walking.
Wait, I feel like they're getting mixed up on the definition of cougar because I feel like a cougar is a verb. You know what I mean? Like you're actively seeking younger men. You're actively trying to like go do things with young guys. Whereas I feel like maybe the proper term is MILF.
Well, so here's the thing. And I agree with you. Like, that's why I said out the gate, a cougar isn't defined by age, but by her activities, right? Mm. But the pill I was having a hard time swallowing, Abby, is knowing that if I was single and going out, I would be considered a cougar. And I don't want to be considered a cougar. So then we go to the next bar, right? Uh-huh. So we're at the next bar. And I'm still hung up on this, right? Like, it's really like taking a toll on my soul that this dude was like, oh, yeah, I just kept on walking. So then there we are. And my friend Amanda's having a field day with this. She thinks it's hilarious that I am having a hard time accepting the fact that we are now in the cougar category because we are over 40. And if we're out, we are cougars. If you are like single and looking for. So now there's another young buck behind the bar, right?
You use that term and you don't want to be called a cougar.
I know. So he's probably like in his early 20s, right? Okay. So cute guy behind the bar. He's not even the bartender. He's the bar back. And Amanda once again goes, hey, are we cougars? And without skipping a beat, he goes, yeah, you are. And I had me one once.
Hey, bar back.
I don't want to be a cougar!
It sounds like it's a compliment.
It's not, Cassie.
It is totally a compliment. Well, and I will tell you why. Because believe it or not, I was called a cougar this weekend.
You are in your 20s. You cannot be called a cougar.
It's age is relative. So you were in Pompano Beach or whatever, and maybe you're surrounded by people in their 30s. Maybe it's young families or whatever, and you would be considered a cougar because like the guys around there are in their 20s. I, this weekend, went to the University of Florida, where the average age is like 19 years old. I'm sitting at a bar, Ball's Bookstore. Shout out to all the UF grads who know that one. Pits of hell. And some guy taps me on the shoulder. He starts hitting on me. And I look at him and I go, I'm too old for you, buddy. Like, this guy probably used a fake ID to get in, and he goes, I don't mind an older woman. And I was like, oh my God.
Older.
I'm a cougar. At the University of Florida, I'm a cougar. So I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, I don't think they're calling you like an old hag. You're just like a more mature, sexually confident woman who happens to do Botox every now and then.
Yeah, they could have called you toads. I mean, come on. It means you're attractive. And the fact that somebody called you a cougar and then a prostitute, obviously you're oozing sex, okay?
The sex appeal is wild.
And you upgraded. I mean, cougar definitely upgrade from prostitute. Going in the right direction.
I don't know that they're mutually exclusive. Who says you can't be both?
I got called a cougar first, and then I got called a prostitute.
Oh, that's the wrong direction.
I thought I was going to be more confident in my older age and knowing who I am. And now I'm flailing.
Do we need to get you a life alert?
Yes.
Are you flailing that bad?
You'll never beat an allegation.
Help, I'm falling and I can't get up.
You're on The Burt Show.
I want to give the director of Wicked mad props. And maybe this doesn't deserve mad props now that I'm thinking about it. Cause he did the right thing. And sometimes people commend you for doing the right thing when in actuality you should always do the right thing. You don't really need to get kudos for it. But the director of Wicked missed the premiere. And this is something he's been working on for years for the birth of his fifth child.
Everybody, it's John Chu here, the director of the movie. I'm so sorry I can't be there. It's November 9th. I was at the hotel across the street ready to come. My whole family's there, my friends, all our loved ones are there, and I've waited for 3 years to have this moment to share a movie with you, but I've waited my whole life to have this moment, to have a child right now. Of course, this little girl knows when to show up on the premiere day, so anyway. I wish I could be there, but here I am, and I wanted to say thank you to everybody, to Universal, to Mark Platt, to Stephen Schwartz, to Whitney Holtzman, to everybody who has believed in this project from the very beginning, before I ever came on, and believed in me to carry this tradition forward. And I'm so excited for you to see the movie on this big screen, the loudspeakers. Please enjoy the movie.
So John Chu, who is the director of Wicked, been working on this for 3 years now, has to miss the premiere because his daughter was born.
I mean, life comes at you fast, but I think you made the right decision.
Now, if it was your first child, of course. Second, third, fourth, this was the fifth. You really need to be there?
Fifth child?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I'm at the premiere.
Yes!
Been there, done that.
I also just feel like maybe that this could have been prevented. You know what I mean? Like, if I was working on a film for 4 years, I would maybe look at that certain month and go, maybe we should be really safe this month so I can go to the premiere of this movie I've been working on. I don't know. Just me, though.
All right, Cassie, are you a bad parent if you do what?
Throw out your child's trashy artwork.
Trashy, wow.
We'll cut to the chase. I'm just kidding. So my kid, like literally every other kid in preschool, comes home with art. And it's good art. I've got to give it to the teachers. Like, they do some really cool projects. Like at Halloween, it was like a bat on top of a straw. And when you pulled the straw down, the bat's like wings flapped. And they built this huge centipede out of like cardboard toilet paper tubes. Like really creative, cool stuff that my daughter Hazel loves doing. And I love seeing it too. And we do a lot of art at our house. It's something my kid loves. But at some point, I look at some of the art and I'm like, okay, it's kind of go. Because what are we going to do with it? Like just keep it in a box forever? So I'm specifically looking at this giant caterpillar made out of pipe cleaners and at least like 6 or 7 toilet paper rolls. Super cool. But I'm like, I ain't got room for this. One, I don't have a house right now. But two, like, I don't care even if I did. Where am I going to put it? I don't mind putting it on display. We've done that thing where we bought those cool frames where you can switch out a piece of art so it looks like it's framed every single time and keep the rest of them. I'm down with the fridge being decorated, which if you are a longtime listener, you know I was adamantly against that in my 20s.
Were you really? I forgot about that.
Oh my God, I came on and I was like, because it was my nephew, well, not even my nephew's, it was my boyfriend's nephew's at the time.
That's right.
We're sending us like macaroni art and stuff, and I had gotten my first big girl apartment, like it was my first apartment off campus. And I was like, I don't want that all over my apartment. I am 24. I don't want macaroni art as an aesthetic decor. Of course, I got blasted, which is fair. I deserved it. now I'm of a different mentality. I really like seeing it. But if you have kids, you know, there's the art pieces they do, and then there's like scribbly little pieces of paper.
Yeah.
Where they've just scribbled something and they're like, look, it's a unicorn flying through a rainbow in a rainstorm. And you're like, it's blue and gray. I don't, oh, great job, kid. So I went to go throw this centipede thing away. And I told my husband, I was like, yo, I'm tossing this, just FYI. And he's like, you can't throw it away. And I was like, okay.
Says a couple living in an RV right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I was like, sure, babe. And he's like, you can't throw that away. And when my husband is adamant about something, even though I know he's 100% wrong, I still like to pretend to listen and agree, because that's what a partnership is. You hear the other person out. You care about their feelings. So I didn't throw it away, but I wanted to bring it on air because now we're accumulating piles and piles of art. We have like literally half a drawer full of just stacks of paper. And I'm like, at what point can I say, sayonara? I had a friend who came up with the trash fairy, and that you give the art to the trash fairy to decorate with, and you make a big ritual out of it, and it worked for her. But when my husband is against it, it's not the kid I have to worry about. It's the 45-year-old adult man who wants to keep his children's art. God forbid he have a sentimental bone in his body.
So I am in the same boat as you. Jimmy goes to a fantastic preschool. They are very, like, crafty, tons of arts and crafts. Kids coming, he's coming home constantly with stuff, right? We threw the marshmallow teeth away because they're learning about their teeth and how to brush. And they actually made a mouth with the teeth as marshmallows.
That's cute.
Yeah, but I'm like, we're not keeping that because we're going to have cockroaches. That's going to be bad. But I think you just wait and it's going to pop up in your algorithm on Instagram because our phones are constantly listening to us. Archive.
Yeah, but how do you do that when it's a 3D object?
They take a picture of it.
Oh.
So archive is they take pictures of the artwork and they put it into a book and then they'll send it back to you and then you can throw it away. But you have a book, like it's basically a book of art that your kid did.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, that's fire.
Yeah, right? So yeah. You send them all the artwork in a box, then they take photos of it, they put it into this book, they send it back to you, and then you dispose of the art. But then you have a book of all the artwork your kid did.
Follow-up question. Would I be the a-hole if I went ahead and did this archive book, threw out the art, and then gifted it to my husband for Christmas?
No.
Is he going to notice if the art's gone?
No, he won't. He won't. He always likes to keep little things, and I'll let, that sounds so pretentious, but you guys know what it's like to be in a relationship with someone who's like, I really want to keep that empty Purelene can, and you're like, why? I might need it one day, and then it sits there for 3 years, and then I finally throw it out, and guess what? Never missed.
This is what, in our garage right now, is just so many random pieces of wood. It's just wood on wood on wood. On wood. And I'm like, why do we have all this scrap wood when we're not building anything?
You might need it one day, but guess what? Wouldn't miss it. Don't get married, Abby. Don't worry about being single. This is what you have to look forward to.
It's okay. No one's trying to wife me up anyway, so we're good.
I wouldn't do that as a Christmas gift because he has already expressed how important it is to keep the art, right? So what I would do this on the side, and then I would gift him the book and be like, all right, here's a book of all of Hazel and Max's art. Would you like to go ahead and get rid of their art now? And then you guys together, because you're taking his feelings into consideration, and then you also did something sweet by commemorating said artwork, and then you can throw it away together.
Do you think it'll offset the fact that I've been just sticking it all in the back of his car? Because we don't have room for it in the house.
Hey, he want to keep it.
Yeah, unless he opens his trunk, it's a bunch of like toilet paper roll caterpillars and bats.
I would think that's funny.
Dude, if he got pulled over for whatever reason and a cop opens his trunk, he's going to be like, what are you smuggling?
You're on The Burt Show.